Yom HaShoah, never again, never forget. This past week marked the observance of Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance, one of the most tragic moments in world history. A day set aside to remember the nearly 6 million Jewish people whose lives were taken at the hands of a truly evil regime. Some atrocities at the hands of other regimes may have been greater in number, but none of greater impact on a specific people. Nearly 80% of the Jewish population in Europe was wiped out from the face of the earth. There's a map on the wall that will show you just how devastating it occurred in Europe. Rather than go through the history of the Shoah again, I've provided you links in my notes, which will be on the website hopefully later this week, from past sermons that you can view. The history is the history. But I want to go even deeper today for Yom HaShoah, for remembrance. I want to focus on the impact this had on the Jewish people. I want to attempt to get you to understand what they felt, how it impacted them, and the generations that would follow those who did survive. One example. Back in 2014, Rabbi Loewinger, Rabbi Frank, as some of you come to know him, because that's how I know him. My mentor gave an interview to Elizabeth Ames, a senior at Liberty University. Her thesis was entitled Messianic Jewish Liturgical Practices. Someone at Liberty University, a very Baptist university, writing on Messianic Jewish liturgical practices in Virginia, yes. Within her thesis is the recount of the interview. She interviewed 17 individuals, Messianic rabbis, Messianic performers. Marty Goetz was on there, and a few people that I'm not familiar with and I haven't read their interviews. But I am familiar with Rabbi Frank. Within this interview, she obtained background information pertaining to the influences of the lives of those she interviewed, including Rabbi Frank. What I am about to read to you is a reality Rabbi Frank has shared many times in the 18 months that Jerry and I were there in the congregation interning. I've heard similar testimonies from others who lost family members in the Holocaust. So Elizabeth Ames asked him, well, tell me a little bit about your background. Well, he says, and I can hear his voice now as he's saying this, it was a practicing Jewish home. I preface it by saying, well, simply because my father of blessed memory was a Holocaust survivor. My father lost everybody. His entire family perished at Auschwitz. As far as my father was concerned, God also died at Auschwitz. In his words to me, more than once, if there is a God, and if we are the chosen people, then where is my family? Not something foreign to many Jewish people who survived. To be a child of the Holocaust, to be a child of a Holocaust survivor isn't easy. Today they have a medical term for it: post-traumatic stress. But I don't believe a medical term does justice to grouping everyone into a diagnosis. You were expected to move on with your life after the war, after the concentration camps. This was the mindset. Yet to say this tragedy didn't impact people who survived is an understatement. You can't unring a bell. You can't block out the images that are so etched in your mind. And his words, if there is a God, and if we are the chosen people, where is my family? He was the only one of his family that survived. Rabbi Frank continues on in his interview about his mother. On the other hand, my mother of blessed memory, both of them have passed. Her family came to the United States right from the pogroms in Russia. Another devastating experience for the Jewish people, which I'll go into a little more detail in a moment. Where did I leave off? Right from the United States. In a scene right out of Fiddler on the Roof, he says, they lived in a little village of Sokolivka, which today is part of Ukraine. It used to be part of Russia, and now soon is possibly going to be part of Russia again. Keeping in mind, we're talking about Russia invading the Ukraine not too long after that in 2015. Because it did Crimea in 2013. So as he's giving this interview, he's seeing, can history be repeating itself? Then he goes on. They were forced out of Sokolivka and made their way to the United States. My mom's family, they were Orthodox. But my mother's orthodoxy went by the wayside when she married my father. So you have two people in different parts of the world. One, not different parts of the world, but in a similar area. One who experienced the concentration camps of Germany. One who experienced the pogroms of Russia. The pogroms are known as an organized massacre of Jews in Russia and of Eastern Europe. They were large-scale targeted and repeated anti-Jewish riots that first began in the 19th century. The pogroms began occurring after the Russian Empire, which previously had very few Jews. Acquired territories with large Jewish populations from the Polish Lithuanian Commonwealth. These territories were designated the Pale, P-A-L-E, of settlement. That's a whole other story to talk about. By the Imperial Russian government, within which Jews were reluctantly permitted to live. And it was within them that the pogroms largely took place. Most Jews were forbidden from moving to other parts of the empire unless they converted to Russian Orthodox practices. Sound familiar? There are aspects that go through history to the Jewish people, convert or die. Rabbi Frank's mother's family continued as Orthodox Jews even after their real experience of life in the Russian Empire. Yet Rabbi Frank's father wanted nothing to do with his heritage. But Rabbi Frank continues in this interview. But my father was very determined that my siblings and I continue in the synagogue, not just through bar and bat mitzvah, but right through the age of 18 and confirmation. And every time I would fight with my father, you know, why do you send us to synagogue every week, twice a week, Hebrew school, Sunday school, services, but you never go? And his answer to us was always the same. If you're going to answer anyone, be consistent. I want you to know who you are and who your people are. To him, God died long ago. But there was still something in him that there was a responsibility to his children. The Shema conveys the very same aspect. Teach your children. In spite of the scars that would impact his faith in Adonai, it was important for Frank's father that his children know who they are. Then he goes on. So I was basically secular, but my dad compelled us because to him being a Jew was important and identity was important. And I have found that this upbringing proved to be very valuable in the days that would come ahead when I would come to find the Messiah of Israel and to see that living one's life as a Jew is a good thing. And it's just part of the vision that we carried into this congregation when we planted it. Rabbi Frank talking about the congregation that he started back in 1982 as an offshoot of the Assemblies of God, ultimately becoming independent in 1987. We're talking 32 years. Everybody has different experiences that they can relate to. Rabbi Frank has firsthand accounts through his father with regards to the Holocaust. I can't say the same thing. My grandparents on my father's side both originated from Poland. My grandfather was born in Poland in 1906. And I don't remember the year that they immigrated to Canada, but it was not too long after that. I believe he was 6 years old. My grandmother's family immigrated to Canada before she was born. If you look at the map, had they not left when they did, keeping in mind we're talking 30 years before, but the rise of anti-Semitism was so profound throughout Europe that there was an exodus occurring going all the way back to 1860. And starting in 1880, the first Aliyah to the land of about 20,000 Jews from Europe. I can tell you this with a degree of certainty. You look at the map. 3 million Jews in Poland fell victim to the Holocaust. Total population of the Jews, of Jewish people in Poland before the Holocaust, 3.3 million. I can give you a 90% certainty. If my grandparents didn't leave, we would not be here today. Yet, as I was preparing for today, I felt led. It's like, Lord, is there a psalm that relates to the Holocaust? Now, keeping in mind, the psalms were written centuries, if not millennia, before 1939 through 1945. Yet Google can be a powerful tool when used correctly. I did a search for Psalms and the Holocaust. The first one that came up was Psalm 102. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 102. And in parentheses, and this may or may not be in your Bibles, it says, a prayer of a sufferer overcome by weakness and pouring out his complaint before Adonai. Adonai, hear my prayer, let my cry for help reach you. Don't hide your face from me when I am in such distress. Turn your ear toward me when I call, be quick to reply. The urgent prayer of one who is suffering greatly. God's people crying out for help. This was not an uncommon moment within the concentration camps. Anybody remember the movie God on Trial? Yeah. It's been on PBS a number of times. Basically, it's a number of Jewish people in one of the concentration camps, and I believe it's Auschwitz, but I'm not 100% sure. They're putting God on trial for the atrocities that are occurring. Yet verse 3. For my days are vanishing like smoke. My bones are burning like a furnace. I am stricken and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Because of my loud groaning, I am just skin and bones. I am like a great owl in the desert. I've become like an owl in the ruins. I lie awake and become like a bird alone on the roof. If you've ever seen images of what the Allied forces uncovered after the war, you saw mass graves of bodies withered to the bone, just skin and bone. You saw, for lack of another word, the survivors, the refugees, skin and bone. There was a stench that permeated around these concentration camps of the furnaces and the smells that came from the furnaces. Verse 8, my enemies taunt me all day long. Mad with rage, they make my name a curse. For I have been eating ashes like bread and mingling tears with my drink because of your furious anger, since you picked me up just to toss me aside. My days decline like an evening shadow. I am drying up like grass. The angst, this could be someone writing these very words in a concentration camp. The anguish they went through, the suffering they experienced. But you, Adonai, verse 12, are enthroned forever. Your renown will endure through all generations. You will arise and take pity on Zion, for the time has come to have mercy on her. The time determined has come, for your servants love her very stones. They take pity even on her dust. Mark these verses, and we will get to them later. The nations will fear the name of Adonai, and all the kings on the earth your glory. When Adonai has rebuilt Zion and shows himself in his glory, when he has healed the plea of the poor and not despised their prayer. Again, this speaks to the promise of the verses before. May this be put on record for a future generation. Interesting how God is planning for future generations. He knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. He knows the atrocities that will occur, and ultimately he hears the cries of his people. But then how do you get to, well, if we are the chosen people, where is my family? How do we reconcile such a divergence? We'll get to that. May this be put on record for future generation. May a people yet to be created praise Adonai, for he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, Adonai surveys the earth to listen to the singing of the prisoner, to set free those who are sentenced to death, to proclaim the name of Adonai in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When peoples and kingdoms have been gathered together to serve Adonai. Some will say, he didn't save God's people. To them, God is a liar. Where was God? Keeping in mind, there's a whole narrative that we can look at. And there's a lot of questions that still remain. One such question, who came to faith in Messiah during those times? We don't know the answer to that question. Yet the psalmist goes on. He has broken my strength in mid-course, verse 23. He has cut short my days. I pleaded, God, your years last through all generations. So don't take me away when my life is half over. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. Heaven is the work of your hands. They will vanish, but you will remain. Like clothing, they will all grow old. Yes, you will change them like clothing, and they will pass away. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live securely, and their descendants be established in your presence. The children of your servants. Pay attention to that last verse as well. Is it possible to justify a tragedy? Is it possible to justify 6 million people losing their lives for the sake of ethnic cleansing? Many have fallen away from God for a lot less. To, in essence, deny God for the sake of the extermination of your family. If I was a judge, I would say you have just cause. But we need to look at a bigger picture. Now, keeping in mind, I cannot tell you what transpired with the people who were living in the camps who perished. I don't know if they ever accepted Messiah or not. But keeping in mind, accepting Messiah is a continuation of the Jewish faith. There is no name greater than that of Messiah. There is no name given authority than that of Yeshua. So I can't tell you what transpired. We will know when we get there. Thank you. When we get there. And no, I'm not going to break out on song. When we get to heaven. I'm not here to justify tragedy, but I am here to say, because of tragedy, this is what happened. Israel became a nation declaring their independence and being recognized that day by the United States, thus making Scripture real. Isaiah 66:8. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Is a country born in a day? Is a nation brought forth all at once? For as soon as Zion went into labor, she brought forth her children. Now, keeping in mind, they declared their independence, their declaration. That's when they became a nation. Then the fight began. It's no different here. July 4, 1776, we declared our independence. Then the battle began. The answer to the prophet's questions are yes, yes, and amen. Is a country born in a day? Yes. Is a nation brought forth all at once? Yes. She brought forth her children, and together we say amen. Out of this tragedy, the fig tree began to bring forth its leaves. Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 32. Now let the fig tree teach you its lesson. When its branches begin to sprout and leaves appear, you know that summer is approaching. In the same way, when you see all these things, you are to know that the time is near, right at the door. Yes, I tell you that this people will certainly not pass away before all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never. But when that day and hour will come, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, not the Son, only the Father. Now let's dispel some erroneous teaching with regards to verse 34. Yes, I tell you that this people will certainly not pass away before all these things happen. Basically, the Olivet Discourse, starting in Matthew 24. Lord, when are you going to restore your kingdom and when are you going to return? He's responding to these things. Who are these people? What many people miss when they apply an understanding to these verses, specifically verse 34, this people will certainly not pass away, is that Yeshua is not speaking of the people he is currently speaking to, but rather consider the allusion of the fig tree. He is talking about the Jewish people. How do we know that it's the Jewish people? Scripture confirms Scripture. Jeremiah 31, 34 and 35. The passage that introduces the new covenant made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel and later established a united kingdom or a reunited kingdom. These verses fall at the end. This is what Adonai says. Who gives the sun as light for the day? Who ordained the laws for the moon and the stars to provide light for the night? Who stirs up the sea until its waves roar? Adonai is his name. If these laws leave my presence as Adonai, then the offspring of Israel will stop being a nation in my presence forever. The lesson of the fig tree. Pay attention to the fig tree. Pay attention to the land. The fig tree, Israel, is tied directly to the return of Yeshua. We sang a couple songs today, when the Lord returns to Zion, the watchmen. The watchmen are the ones who are keeping and paying attention. We are watchmen because we are supposed to pay attention to the signs. The signs are all around us. Israel becoming a nation is a sign. Jerusalem being regathered as one is a sign. And it only goes quicker from there. Out of this tragedy came a flourishing aspect of Judaism not seen for centuries. Yes, the Jewish people existed and they survived. But did they flourish? There is a revival going on amongst the Jewish people now as we speak. The rise of Messianic Judaism is something that is foundational in Scripture, even though the term didn't exist. Scripture, it is the concept that presents nearly 2,000 years of this concept of Messianic Judaism. Jewish people accepting their Jewish Messiah. As I shared with you a few weeks ago, and have included the article in my notes, out of approximately 40 million evangelicals in the United States as a result of this survey, it is estimated that there are 871,000 having at least one Jewish parent or grandparent. That's over 2%. Doesn't sound like much. But when you see that there's about 7 million Jews in the United States themselves, talking 12, 13%. The numbers are growing as we speak. Not because of our power, but because God is opening eyes. He's circumcising hearts. He is preparing congregations. He is preparing churches to be a witness. Not in their own strength or power, not by their existing theology, but by a transformation of their understanding. This is happening as we speak. I'm in contact with various pastors. There's something that is likely going to occur in the fall that we will likely be part of. I can't talk about it now, but that's my tease for the day. God is preparing His people. He's preparing Jew and Gentile, to be a witness to the Jewish community. So, buckle up, because the ride is only going to get faster. And if you're not buckled up, if you're not in the vehicle, you might get run over. So let me close with this final thought. And it's really not a thought. Remember I told you about Rabbi Frank, his father, a Holocaust survivor of Auschwitz, wanted nothing to do. His mother, an Orthodox Jew, a survivor of the pogroms, basically gave up her Orthodox Jewish traditions to marry Rabbi Frank's father. The last few things I said, well, what's come out of this tragedy? Israel is a nation. The reunification of Jerusalem. The return of Messiah, in essence, is at hand because he's coming to a place for a people. And then everybody else associated with that people will be with them. Amen. Out of this tragedy, Frank's father and mother also became believers before they died. So, it wasn't all for naught. And then we go back, Then we go back to the last verse of Psalm 102. The children of your servants will live securely and their descendants be established in your presence. The children of your servants ultimately become God's servants. Out of tragedy came Rabbi Frank, who then came to Messiah, who then felt the call to go into ministry before he even knew what Messianic Judaism was, and has in essence been a pillar in the Jewish, in the Messianic Jewish community for over 30 years. You're seeing some of the fruit from his tree here. So yes, we can't answer all the questions of what occurred, why God, to these tragedies. But there is most certainly something that came out of them that is in essence spurring something on. That because of these tragedies, God is moving like he moved in the first century. I wish everyone had similar experiences. For the simple reason, no, I don't want you to suffer and I don't want you to go through tragedy. But I want you to know what it would be like if you had to endure these things. My upbringing wasn't anything like Frank's. But it's like I didn't understand it. I didn't want to do it. But I cherish that time when my parents said, well, have your bar mitzvah for your grandparents. Do it for your grandparents. I don't remember if my arm was being twisted at the time or not. But I look back, we were at a bat mitzvah not too long ago when we went to the synagogues. And I was reflecting, it's like I saw the joy in the little girl who was having her bat mitzvah. She was the center of attention, and she basked in the moment. And she had such joy when she did it. And I'm thinking, it's like, I don't remember all those things, but part of me wishes, I wish I had that. But it's amazing what you learn when you get older than what you don't know when you're younger. So as we close today, before we do the Aaronic blessing, the Kaddish, otherwise known as the Prayer of Sanctification, also identified as the Mourner's Kaddish. Not really the best name for it, because this is a prayer of hope. This is a prayer of looking to the future. This is a prayer of God being who God is. Yet we chant this prayer during memorials, on Yom Kippur, during Yom HaShoah. That it is a prayer not just of hope, and not just the hope of God, but of messianic hope. The hope of Messiah. Because there's a portion that we recite, we actually chant or sing every week. O say shalom bimromav, hu yasei shalom alehu, and so on. Keeping in mind, it's not going to be as lively, and I don't want you to clap because this is a prayer that we are, in essence, conveying from our hearts for those that may have passed. It is a prayer of memoriam. So if everybody will please rise. Steve, do you have the music thing on?
Page 61 and 62, the Kaddish. Yitkadal v'yitkadash Shemei Rabba V'omadi v'achirutei V'yamlich malchutei B'chayechon uv'yamechon Uv'chayer chol Beit Yisrael Bagala, bagala, huvizman kariv, veimru, amen. Yeheshmera ba mevarach, le'olam lo me'omaya, yitbarach. Yitbarach, v'yishtabach, ויתפאר ויתרומם ויתנשא ויתהדר ויתעלה ויתהלל שמי קודשא בריחו לילה מנחו ברכתה ושירתה תושבחתה ונחמתה Da mihiran v'yoma, v'imru, amen. Ose shalom bimromav, hu yase shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, v'imru, v'imru, amen. Ose shalom bimromav, hu yase shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, ve'imru, ve'imru, amen. Yase shalom, yase shalom, shalom aleinu, ve'al kol Yisrael, Yase shalom, yase shalom, shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Ose shalom bimromav, hu yase shalom aleinu v'al kol Yisrael. Ve'imru, ve'imru.
According to his will, may he establish his kingdom during your life and during your days, and during the life of the whole house of Israel, even swiftly and soon, and say, Amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted, extolled, and honored, magnified and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed is he. Though he be high above all the blessings and songs, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world, and say, Amen. May he who makes peace in his high places make peace upon us and upon all Israel, and say, Amen. Adonai said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yayer Adonai penevlech v'yichunecha, Yisei Adonai penevlecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest his presence to you and give you peace. In this way, they are to put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have set apart. And Lord, we thank you for the commandment that is throughout your scripture where you tell us to remember, or to remember very specific things, but we should never forget, so that it never happens again what transpired during World War II, the concentration camps, the crematorias, and those that perished, Lord. For Lord, anti-Semitism continues to this day. It's on rise in Europe, where I believe the next exodus to the land is going to be from Europe. And Lord, I pray that it does not touch the shores in any magnitude on this continent, Lord. But Lord, if it does, let us be bold, unafraid, and speak with conviction. Speak with the power of your Ruach HaKodesh, and speak against all these things of evil, Lord. May you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks, and together we say, Amen. Chairs go around the table. Rob, you'll need to get out an extra table, I believe. And we will do Kiddush in about 5 minutes.